T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Have changed, but the commitment, the ambition, the goal has not.
Dale Arnold.
I will show you disrespect. I will show you my butt.
Rich Keefe.
It was just one of those things we said be aggressive early, try and get a run across. And on top of that, I just wanted some tacos.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Not that anybody cares about this because the talks are playing, so it doesn't matter what I say.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I'm trying to decide what tickles me more. The fact that the Red Sox are 3 wins away from a World Series championship, or the fact that people like Evan Drellick's heads are about to explode.
Yeah, what's his problem?
And not just him.
What's
by the way, he's not the only one.
What's the problem?
That nitwit who does nights across the street, your former best friend.
Oh, Dale, how dare you?
He couldn't sound any dumber than he does right now.
He's sticking by his guns, I guess.
I was so afraid Jackie Bradley Jr. was going to make a good throw. What was I going to say?
He doesn't like Jackie Bradley, and he's sticking with that, I guess. I don't know, but the Red Sox, I'll tell you what, they don't even need starting pitching. They don't need it.
They don't need anything.
Their bullpen, and I told you,
they only need one thing.
Eduardo Nunez.
Alex Cora.
Oh, Alex Cora.
That's all they need.
What was the last thing he did that was wrong? What was the last thing that he did where you were like, that was dumb? And not only that, because there's a lot of things that you say, what are you doing? And then it proves to be right.
Like last night.
Yes.
Last night, we're all at the exact same time. We're all going, wait a minute. Rafael Devers has knocked in a run in 8 consecutive playoff starts, setting a franchise record.
He's a great playoff
player. He's playing well. He's got great playoff numbers. We're going to set him down here for... Oh, never mind.
Rafael Devers. Yeah, I'm glad he started, even though it was against the lefties. Like, good, put him out there. He's been really, really good in the 2 years in the playoffs. Small sample size, yes, but he has been really good. He has played in 11 games in the playoffs last year and this year. He has driven in 13 runs. He has 3 home runs, and he's hitting .364.
Yeah, Rafael, come on back.
Sit him down. We got Nunez, who's hot as a rocket. We got to put Eduardo Nunez in the game. And I'm like,
By the way, he hit a home run that you could legitimately say it just barely cleared the wall.
That's a tall wall.
It would clear every fence in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I would say so. It's the tallest fence.
Exit speed of 106 miles an hour. I think it was still rising when it went over the wall.
They would have been out of the juice box down in Houston. It would have been right out of there. He's pushing all the right buttons. I'm trying to think the last time he went to somebody and he said, oh, I don't like this, and then it actually blew up in his face. Now, Craig Kimbrell had some bad outings, but he still had 5 saves.
He was your closer,
and everybody's like, all right, that's the guy you're going with. And he didn't blow the game.
That whole Kimbrell can't pitch in non-save situations didn't apply
Maybe what's happening, Dale, is it's the old bizarro Kimbrell, where now he's better in non-save than he is in save. Because in the save situations, again, he didn't blow the games, but he was giving up at least one run every single time. And so now... He just went in there and mowed those guys. That was good
Kimbrell.
To see.
He was dominant Kimbrell again.
That was fine. That was the first dominant Kimbrell we've seen all postseason.
Now, I think what Drellick was kind of hinting at when he was on earlier today with Jerry and Mutt, what he was kind of hinting at is that Alex Cora is lucky. The Red Sox have lucked into 108 wins in the regular season.
That's a big sample.
No, he's actually saying, are they good or are they lucky? You don't luck into 108. Then knocking off a 100-win team and a 103-win team, and now you've got a one-game lead in the World Series. Luck does play a part.
I think it does sometimes. Yeah, and I think sometimes...
It is not the reason why you're sitting here up 1-0 in the World Series.
Because the best team doesn't always win the World Series. Like, baseball, more so than basketball, certainly, more so than even the NFL... It can be a bit of a crapshoot. A team can get hot, a pitcher can get hot, or a pitcher dominates, a couple of hitters, out of nowhere have really big series, and the best team doesn't always win, but they were the best team in the regular season, and now they're proving to be the best team in the postseason. So how much more of a sample do you need? And is it lucky to beat the Dodgers? Like, they're better than the Dodgers.
Look, this is not a bulletin. They won 108 games.
Right.
They're the best team in baseball.
Well, okay, they're better than everybody. They were the best
team in baseball going into the playoffs. They were better than the Yankees. They were better than the Astros. They are better than the Dodgers. And it is driving people nuts.
Yeah. I mean, the decisions he is making are all working. And the bullpen, kind of out of nowhere, is a really good bullpen. Now, one of the really important parts of that is the eighth inning, more often than not, has gone to a starter. And those guys...
What a plan, though, huh?
A great plan. Oh, the perfect plan. And maybe we should have seen this coming because Cora being on the bench of the Astros last year, and the Astros were not afraid to do this. They would do that a lot on their way to winning the World Series. But whether it's Eovaldi or Porcello or even Chris Sale that one time, they're going to bring these guys back. They're often the Rover now, which is what they're calling it.
Yeah.
The Rover. That guy comes in, pitches an eighth inning, and that way you can get away with, all right, we're going to bring Barnes in the fifth. You know, that's a guy that maybe you thought was going to pitch the eighth at times. He's pitching the fifth, and you can get away with that because you're bringing in a starter who they're embracing that role of pitching in the eighth.
It's funny, too, because even when he makes a call that turns out to not work.
Which is rare.
No, but it happened. It happened last night. 3-2 count. J.D. Martinez is on first with one out. They're gonna move Martinez to try to stay out of the double play.
Yeah.
He gets picked off first base.
Yeah.
And you say, come on, you run yourself out of it.
But that's on Martinez, though.
Right.
That's not even Cora.
He left too soon.
Yeah, you
the idea of putting him in motion on a 3-2 count to stay out of the double play is perfectly valid.
Yeah, it's fine. You just can't get picked off like that. You know, that so that one goes down to Martinez. But I mean, just about everything else. And I even think last night with Sale, once again, like I think he has pulled the starter at the right time for me throughout the entire playoffs.
Yeah, the only quibble I had was the David Price getting pulled after 4 2/3. By the way, not because, we got to get David Price to win. I wanted to get him over the psychological hump.
Yeah.
And they were within and out of being able to do that.
But even
he was still right.
He was right. They won the game. And then, you know, last night, the same thing. You know, Chris Sale was not great, but they won the game. They got him out of there. They could sort of limit the damage. Plus, they were hitting Clayton Kershaw. So that was working out. And then you go five innings out of the bullpen, which just a month ago, you know, forget 2 months ago, 1 month ago, if I told you they're going to be in the World Series and Chris Sale is going to last four innings, you would say, no chance do they win.
We all sounded the exact same horn going into the playoffs.
Not
well,
the Rossi
if
horn.
Chris Sale, no, not okay, that, please.
God.
No!
God. No.
Don't even think it.
I'm sorry I mentioned it.
No, it was the whole thing about, you know, if Chris Sale's not right, they got no chance.
He's the guy. I thought he was going to have to win two games a series. I really did. Rossi, you son of a... That actually was going on in the hallways here. That was on our way in.
This is actually not the time to play that in here.
Do not play that. No, I thought Sale, even going back to the Yankee series, was going to have to be huge. In the Astros series, I certainly thought he was going to have to win two games. But that's not the case at all. I mean, after David Price bounced back the way that he did, Chris Sale might be the guy, the starter you're the least confidence in right now. Which is wild. Just like Kimbrel, even after last night, is a reliever that you might have the least confidence in. It's other guys that have completely flipped. Eovaldi's your most valuable guy. You know, Brazier and Barnes are getting big. I know Brazier gave up the run last night, but those guys are.
But your bullpen has been
nails.
It's
been really, really good. Yeah.
Ironically, you had this, you know, pitching matchup for the ages, we were saying yesterday. You could make an argument the best World Series pitching matchup ever, and it was about what you'd expect.
They each won four.
Yeah, now Kershaw does take the loss.
Yes.
Because, you know, the Dodgers never came back and tied it.
No.
But, I mean, it was like, okay.
So you want to know, should I get my warm take out of the way right now?
Warm take Wednesday.
Warm take Wednesday. You can't pay starting pitchers anymore. You can't do it. Because last night.
Well, in the regular season, you're not doing this stuff like you're doing in a playoff.
I know, but this is why you need these guys is come playoff time, or so I thought. I mean, this is such an example where they're talking about it last night. Like, this is the greatest playoff matchup or World Series matchup pitching-wise of all time. And the stats all back it up. Two guys with over 1,000 innings in their career, both with career ERAs under 3. A 2.39 for Kershaw, a 2.89 for Sale. Kershaw was an MVP, 3-time Cy Young winner, multiple times in the top 2, top 5. Chris Sale's never won it, but a runner-up multiple times in the top 5. Best pitching matchup ever. They both go four innings. Like, what on earth? Like, so you're going to pay guys $30 million. I know Sale doesn't make that now, but you're going to pay guys $30 million so they can pitch four innings? Yeah, he is going to make it, and hopefully not here.
I look at the situation that these teams are going through. Every series so far, we were told, well, the Yankees offense is better. No, they're not. Then we were told, well, the Houston offense is better. No, they're not.
No.
The Dodgers offense isn't better either.
Well, nobody said that, though.
No.
At least.
I didn't claim that. This offense is relentless.
Yeah.
I mean, they just grind you down. And probably the hallmark of every great team is two-out RBIs.
Oh, against Houston, that's like all they did.
And this team is owning the two-out RBI stat. We're so reluctant, we're so hesitant to say, yeah, they're the best team. It's like we don't want to say it. It's like you know what it is? We're afraid we're going to jinx it.
Honest to God, maybe. I mean, I think it's also because, and this happens really, to be fair, in all four of the teams, is we watch every single game, or we try, you know, whatever it is. You watch all of it. You don't watch every game of the Dodgers. You don't watch every game of the Astros. So you may not see their flaws as much. So you see the Red Sox bullpen, but maybe you don't take into account another team's bullpen or the clutch hitting.
I say that all the time.
Yeah.
If we were doing this show in Houston,
you'd be saying
we'd be the fifth all sports station in Houston.
That's
by the way,
is there room for us there?
Well, we'd be better than the other four.
Oh, I agree.
So if we were doing it in Houston, we'd be picking apart the flaws of the Houston Astros.
Right. So that happens.
If we were doing it in L.A. Well, no one would care, but if we did it in L.A.
You might as well just do it in an empty room with nobody listening.
It's sort of like this empty floor that we're on right now.
Yeah, everybody's leaving.
So, you know, it would be the same thing. We'd be picking apart the flaws of the Dodgers.
That's a lot of it. And so it's hard to commit and say, hey, this team's going to win the World Series when, you know, not now. I think now it's easy to say that. But even going back, you know, before the playoffs began, and we would ask the question, all right, who's pitching the eighth? And this was before we knew about the Rover position. So who's pitching the eighth? I'm like, well, it's hard for me to pick them to beat the Astros if I thought Matt Barnes was going to be pitching the eighth or Ryan Brazier.
He might well be your closer next year. Matt Barnes may be your closer next year.
Yeah, it won't be Kimbrel. Kimbrel's gone. Kimbrel's going to make a lot of money with somebody. That's another one where, I don't know. I mean, I wonder what the sort of the budget is, if you will, for the pitching staff. And they say to Dombrowski, all right, you have X number of millions of dollars to fill out a rotation, a bullpen, and a closer. And right now he's spending a ton on the closer. So if Barnes is your closer next year, you can pay a lot less. Maybe Brazier will be the closer, for God's sakes.
So we actually put our entire crack staff on this.
We have quite a crew today.
We put them all on it.
Yeah.
And because we actually, I think, did find the last time Alex Cora made a mistake. Because you were asking legitimate question.
I was very curious.
Well, we think we found it.
Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. We scored six runs, and we were so excited about it, and the manager missed that one. What I'm going to lie? Why lie? You know, and it happens. Everybody saw it. So, you know, I think I ask our guys to be genuine, transparent, and responsible. So if I'm asking them to be that way, well, I better be that way.
He didn't make a defensive replacement for J.D. Martinez.
For Jackie Bradley, who was on the bench.
Yeah. He said, I made a mistake.
Now, do you have the date on that?
It was the opening week of the season.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was April.
It was April.
April 10th.
Oh, April 10th.
And then Dale had a good follow-up to that when we had him on.
We used to interview him. I remember that, yes.
Where was your bench coach?
He was saying, hey, Alex, we
got the wrong guy out there.
We talk about it. And it's just happened, man. It's not that the game got fast on us, but it got, I mean, we scored six. And the first thought was like, if we tie the game, Kimbrel's in the game. If we go ahead, obviously he's coming in the game. And then, you know, JD's in the outfield. And like I said, it's not that, you know, it was a bad alignment because we're going to put JD in the spots that the ball is going to be hit. But we go from that defense to elite. You know, when those three are in the outfield, it's the best defense in baseball. And whenever we can have that in the outfield, we're better off.
That was the last time he made a mistake.
Apparently.
April 10th.
And he was quick to admit it, too.
And by the way,
that's on me. My fault.
By the way, they won that game.
Oh, they did.
So, like, none of these mistakes have come back to bite him in a loss. When was the last time they lost the game because of something Cora did?
All right, so and I said already, you don't luck into 108 wins. You don't you don't luck into being up one game to none in the World Series. But is Alex Cora lucky, or is he just plain good?
I think some of it is luck. Some of it has to be. Like, things are going their way. Like, wouldn't you admit 2013, certain things went their way? Like, that was not the most talented team. And they were fortunate. They did have some luck behind them, and they were able to win it. This team is a lot more talented. I would much rather have this roster than the 2013 roster.
Absolutely.
Without question.
I'd like to have the healthy David Ortiz on this roster, but, you know.
For sure. But, I mean, some of the things.
Although,
like,
where would he play? You got a pretty healthy J.D. Martinez, who's killing it at that position, too.
I would put Martinez in left. I would have Bradley on the bench, much to the chagrin of everybody. But I would have Ortiz. I would like your lineup a lot,
yeah,
if that was the case. But, no, some of it has to be luck. Like, some of the decisions that he has made, you know, even going into late in the regular season. Remember how many clutch pinch hits that Brock Holt had? And when we had him on, he was talking about, yeah, I wasn't even really a good pinch hitter before.
Yeah.
Like, this year, all of a sudden, he's a great pinch hitter. He wasn't before. So it wasn't like a numbers thing. It wasn't like, ooh, we have Matt Stairs 2.0 who comes off the bench and is a great pinch hitter. That wasn't the case. But at the right time, Cora was making all these right decisions. But I think
is part of that, and good managers do this at every level. Good managers do it if they're running a gas station or running a radio station or running a baseball team. They give their employees the confidence to do their job properly. They put them in the position to do their jobs, let them do it, tell them, hey, we know you can do it. How much of that is involved with Cora, like with Brock Holt?
Yeah.
Hey, Brock, get up there. You're going to get a hit for me.
I mean, it speaks volumes, I think, is what Cora does, the voice that he provides for them. And then the ultimate test, and we won't know this for a while, is how it translates next year, the year after that, and the year after that. Because, again, John Farrell won the World Series his first year.
I remember.
And then all of a sudden,
you were quick to give him credit for that.
I said, this is a guy who can get things done. They should lock him up to a lifetime deal.
Hitch your start of this wagon.
But that's the point. So that looked good for that year. And Cora, again, it does feel different, but he has to do it for multiple years. Even Terry Francona won it his first year, won it, his third or fourth year. But then even by the end, things started to change on him. So right now, everything is coming up Alex Cora. Everything. That was what we're saying at the beginning of last year, or the beginning of this season, I should say, feels like forever ago. We were saying, well, you know, it's easy to be in a good mood right now because the team's rolling.
Everybody's happy.
Eventually, they're going to hit adversity.
They didn't.
They did not. They have
they
not
didn't
done that.
They didn't lose four in a row all year.
They never did. And they've only lost two playoff games. So we still don't even know what it looks like with a long
losing
streak.
Those were both
streak.
At home, by the way.
Right.
They get on the road. They're,
oh, they can't
they
wait to go
dust
to LA.
Everybody.
Are you buying into my sweep again?
You know, I'd be tempted. Yeah. Well, tell me about tonight.
All right.
At the end of
the
night
Price
tonight,
is good in the playoffs now. I don't know if you've been
he's
paying
nails.
Attention.
Yeah, he's nails. You get him in a playoff position.
He's great. He's
better than Clayton Kershaw and Chris Sale when you get him in the playoffs.
Clayton Kershaw was nothing special last night.
You don't have a tingly fingers alert going for tonight?
It is
going
to be a little chilly, is it not?
It was chilly there last night. It's going to be chillier, supposedly, tonight.
Go to the bullpen. You got Rick Porcello pitching the eighth, right? I mean, the bullpen was great. Nobody was really overworked. Ryan Brager threw 18 pitches. That was the most out of anybody in the bullpen.
I still have very cold hands and very cold feet.
I'll tell you what, Eduardo Rodriguez going in there, didn't feel great about that. Now, I know it was lefty on lefty, and it was the right matchup, but I was like, ugh, I don't feel good about him so late into the game, but he got his guy. You know, runners on base, that could have been a big spot for the Dodgers, but Rodriguez, it was the right call, got his guy, three pitches, and he's done.
Let me just, a couple of quick notes about last night. First of all, my gut feeling it was a Sam Kennedy production, but Fox showing the moment of silence for John Martin before the game was really cool. And John's wife and daughters were at the game last night. They were on the field, the three of them together were doing the play ball thing. It was a very nice touch. And again, my guess is Sam Kennedy went to Fox and said, hey, guys, you know, why don't you do this? And they did, and it was
cool. That was pretty cool. That was really nice. That was the best part.
That's the good news for Fox. The bad news for Fox was the post-game show. So because Fox is the network of record, they've got the series.
Sure they do.
They get the real estate where normally the Nesson set is during the whole season.
Yeah, right outside the park.
Right there, you know, right next to Twins.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Nesson set is, and Fox gets it. So you put the Fox set there. And
you got Ortiz, you got A-Rod, you got the big hurt.
Well, you move Nesson like half a block over
see you later.
Towards the parking lot there on Brookline.
Right.
Well, you've got A-Rod, you've got all these guys, you got Big Poppy out on this set. It's post-game. I don't know if you've noticed this, but sometimes people drink adult beverages when they're at baseball games.
I have
games.
Noticed that. I've actually even partaken a couple of
no
times.
No way.
A couple of times.
It's not a regular thing.
No, no, no.
So what you had was a bunch of drunks screaming and yelling at A-Rod and David Ortiz. I couldn't hear anything.
Well, it was funny that you said that because as they were like setting it up, I forget what inning it was, they took a shot out. They showed the guys on set, and I was like, is it a great idea to have A-Rod and even Ortiz? Because like, you're going to be either booing or yelling or trying to get his attention. I'm like, those two guys outside after the game, I'm like, I don't know how this is going to work. And apparently it didn't because it was hard to hear those guys.
Now, Nesson was half a block away.
Yeah.
Everybody's down yelling at A-Rod and Big Poppy. So they're just sitting there. It's Rice and Lyons and Karen.
No problem.
And I could hear them. I could actually understand the words they were saying.
That helps in the postgame. What'd you think of Buck and Smoltz?
First, I think Smoltz is really good. He gets a little wordy sometimes.
He gets a little obvious at times, too.
Yeah, but I like him. I think he's really smart.
Yeah.
I think he does what I always say good analysts do. He predicts what's going to happen.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
And he's real good at that.
He did drop a, sometimes you need to tie the game before you can take the lead.
I know. Yeah, well. Okay. You know, I don't know.
I was like, what?
I don't know if you've noticed this.
How does this work?
I don't know if you've noticed this, but during the course of our four-hour stint here, every word that drops from our mouths are pearls
of
wisdom.
For sure not. For sure not. But I'm guessing Smoltz makes a little bit more money than I do.
Culture, obviously, from a championship standpoint. 2-0. And if you can't handle the questions or the scrutiny of not being able to perform, you're gonna suffocate. It's not going to be well, especially if you're not.
Here's one into center and caught.
Wait.
You can finish your thought later. Bottom of the fourth inning rolls in. So the Red Sox bats.
He's like,
we'll get back to you on that, okay?
I swallowed the bug.
We got a hard out on the commercial break here, John.
We'll give you 3 minutes to figure out whatever the hell you were talking about.
We'll give you 3 minutes to call Lewis and Clark to find your point.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Smoltz fan. I mean, better than Ron Darling, though, so it's not as bad as the last two series.
No, it's definitely not.
And then did you see Joe Buck trying to work on some characters? Did you hear him when he was talking about the people in the provincial? Like, hey, Alice, make sure you turn your light on. I was like, what is he doing? I'm like, well, that's a bad joke. And then he kept it going. He's like, hey, Phyllis, don't forget your light. I won't
forget your light. I was like, you too, Karen.
And Smoltz is like, am I supposed to jump in here with something? Do I do a voice? What are you doing right now?
It also reminded me of Dale yesterday, his Sean McVay voice.
It was very similar to his Busy Phillips voice.
Yeah, same thing,
a lot of overlap there. But he stuck with
it. My John Laurinaitis voice was better than those.
Well, maybe.
He had like a whole conversation.
He did, and
Smoltz
is like, what? He's like, it's the World Series. He's like, oh, there's no strangers to turn the lights on in the Pru. I'm like, what is he talking about?
I don't mind Buck as much as some people around here
do.
And there are times when he does get the humble brag about Springsteen texting him during the course of the game.
Oh, my God.
Just put the phone away.
Loser.
Put the phone away, Joe.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
We got a job to do here, and it's not communicating with your best pal, Bruce Springsteen.
not a fan. Not a big thing.
Go Sox on the Prudential Building. They know how to do that around here this time of year.
This is awful.
Kevin, don't forget to turn on your lights before you go home.
Yeah, do more of this.
You're part of the Go Sox.
This is good. Do more.
Karen, you do it too.
What is that?
But he didn't change his voice.
No, same guy.
Same. I
mean, that must be the boss on that floor.
Kevin, don't forget to turn on your lights before you go home.
Oh, my God.
Karen, you do it too.
Smoltz is like, can we do the game, please? I don't do characters.
What are we doing?
I don't do any characters. I was told we could call the game.
I've always wondered who plans that at the Pru. You know, what goes
it
into the
cool.
planning
it
of the
looks,
Pru?
It looks great.
It's really cool, and I always wonder, okay,
hey,
you
Karen,
turn
your lights on.
Rooms 210.
Karen, you do it too.
Bottom of the fourth inning rolls in. So do the Red Sox bats. They lead by one.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Easy to laugh.
Don't forget to turn on your lights before you go home.
Before you go home, there's a Red Sox game tonight. We're going to be on TV. Hey, it's the Ghost Sox that you see on the outside. Turn your lights on. You have to turn your light off. I know you're working late, but turn your light off. It won't work if you're in there.
If they change the lettering tonight, that whole building's going to... What? What do I do now?
Oh, Ghost Six. What does that mean?
No, Ghost Sex. Ghost Six. All right. All right. Who's the jolly joker who changed it to Sex?
Ghost Six. I can get behind that. That's a good message. Ghost Six.
You're part of the Ghost Sox.
Somebody's going to hack into the building tonight. There's Ghost Sex.
You know what?
They have to blur it.
Those geniuses at MIT who stick the police car up on top of the building.
Oh, yeah.
Figure out how to change the Prue to Ghost Sex tonight.
Oh, they can hack into that. No problem.
Karen, you do it too.
Yeah, Karen. Shut your light off. No, Kevin, turn yours on.
Oh, we'll be fine.
Kevin, thanks, don't Joe forget Bach. To turn on your lights before you go home.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937.
Go Sox!
We're going to
go Sox!
We're going to try
it. Red Sox, Dodgers, WEEI's coverage of the World Series is brought to you by Patriot Place in Foxborough, Old Dominion Freight Line, and Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Back to Dale and Keith on the exclusive home of the Red Sox, WEEI.
The 1-0. Mooney swings it. Drives one to left. High and deep by the wall. Gone! Three-run pitch home by Eduardo Nunez. Can you believe it? And the Red Sox lead it 8-4. And how about the magic of Alex Cora?
Unbelievable. This was a little slider down and in. 1-0 slider. He just dropped the head on. And you're absolutely right. I mean, Devers been seeing the ball well all night long, even against the lefty. He goes to Nunez in a three-run bomb here. That slider left over the inner half, and he just, that was a line drive that barely got out. You weren't sure if it was going to be high enough.
That was right to the left of the light tower and into the first row. It hit about 38 feet high, but it was a bullet. We'll check the exit velocity, but it was hammered, a 1-0 pitch, and Eduardo Nunez with a three-run pinch homer has given the Red Sox an 8-4 lead.
Just as we all predicted. And yes, it did just barely clear the wall on its way up.
Yeah, that thing was a rocket.
I mean, it was a blast and would have been out of any ballpark in America. So during this playoff run so far, the Red Sox have beaten CC Sabathia.
Yes.
They've beaten Justin Verlander.
Yes.
And they've beaten Clayton Kershaw so far.
Starting pitching is not what it used to be, Dale. It really isn't. I mean, starting pitching, it's guys break down. Guys can't perform in the playoffs. There's these quick hooks. This is my warm take of all warm takes. Starting pitching, not a great investment anymore. Again, you saw Chris Sale versus Clayton Kershaw. And I know some would say, oh, well, you know, well, Sale's hurt. Okay, well, that's part of it. Like, yeah. That's kind of the idea. Is like these guys break down late in the year or they fight off these different injuries. They're all so fragile. I know any player can get hurt at any time, but that we see pitchers losing seasons nonstop, and then they come back and they're dealing with the shoulder or elbow injuries. And more teams are going to their bullpen in the fifth inning and actually feeling okay about it. They're like, all right, now we have our plan. Each guy's going to have an inning, maybe a stretch of guy to two, and that's how we're going to win games in the postseason.
Let's take a look at some national overnight TV numbers.
Okay.
Let's go back to 2015. That was Royals-Mets.
Ugh.
14-inning game. Did a 10.5 nationally.
Mm-hmm.
2016, you had Cubs-Indians.
Yeah, that which should have been.
12-6.
Yeah, okay.
2017, you had Astros-Dodgers. 10.2.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense that the Cubs, there would be an uptick for the Cubs.
Yep. Last night, 10.0. It was actually down.
Down?
It's actually lower than the last 3 years.
So and then it's really interesting because you take Dodgers from a year ago. So you have Dodgers-Astros, and then you just take Dodgers-Red Sox. You would
and it
think,
went down.
Right. You would think it wouldn't. You would think, and maybe that's just us selfishly saying the Red Sox are one of the most popular teams and a team that everybody wants to watch. Either you're rooting for or against, but either way, you're watching them. So that's a little surprising.
If you look at last night's 10.0, which is what the national overnight number mm-hmm. was, Red Sox Cardinals game one in 2013 did a 9-6. Mm. So it was up from game one of Red Sox Cardinals. You know what part of it? I wonder how much of this is some level of Red Sox fatigue. If you look at the last 4 years,
yeah.
I don't mean here.
No, there's no fatigue not here.
I wonder if nationally it's like, okay.
You know, or even the Dodgers were the one that were in the World Series more recently. They were just in it last year.
We do have a tendency, by the way, because L.A. is so big,
yeah.
We have a tendency to go, oh, my God, that's what the networks want. They want Boston, L.A. I just wonder how rabid the fan base is in L.A. And what, you know, last year they did a 10-2 with the Dodgers.
You know who their big celebrity fan is? The L.A. Dodgers.
Which one?
Mary Hart.
Oh, boy.
It is. That's their biggest Entertainment Tonight.
I bet game three she'll be sitting
in the front row.
Okay. That answers my question.
Yeah.
Whether or not she was still with us.
Mary Hart is alive,
okay,
Dale.
All right.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, she is. Alive
I
and well.
No.
Alive and well, might I add.
I haven't seen her work lately.
Well, no. She just goes to Dodgers games now. She may have retired. She probably has a nice
She's a professional
role.
Dodger watcher.
I think that she is. Now, you would think Sale versus Kershaw would sort of get people fired up.
One of the greatest pitching matchups ever.
Statistically, it is. It wasn't last night. It was kind of, you know, those guys, neither one of them put on much of a clinic. But those guys alone, that is as much star power as you're going to have outside of, you know, Kershaw versus Verlander. I mean, that is as good as anything.
I haven't seen the Boston numbers yet, by the way. The Boston numbers, I'm sure, will be through the roof.
They'll be off the
night.
Charts, yeah.
You know, when I say Red Sox fatigue, I don't mean here.
Yeah.
Nationally, I might be able to make a case for it.
I don't know if there is Red Sox fatigue, only because they're not like the Patriots where they're in the playoffs every single year and then, you know, and they're in the Super Bowl every other year. Like, obviously, they won it in 04, 7, 13, but those are the only years they've made the World Series in that run. And then there was also a couple years, not the last two, but there was a few years in there where they missed the playoffs altogether.
Yep.
So I think they're a little bit different. And you would think, again, you have the chance to see, if you're not a Red Sox fan or you're not in this market, you have a chance to see the American League MVP in Mookie Betts. You have one of the great pitchers, even though he's hurt right now, in Chris Sale. JD Martinez. Like, there's a lot to want to watch, but I guess they thought last year, or I guess the people at home thought last year's was more compelling.
I mentioned that the Red Sox have beaten Sabathia, Verlander, Kershaw so far. I forgot Keuchel. Another Cy Young Award winner.
Sure.
So they have beaten 4 Cy Young Award winners during this playoff run so far.
Not bad.
And they just keep rolling.
Yeah.
And I will say this. I might not go to your 4-game sweep.
It's happening.
But I'm coming off my 6-game.
Yeah, oh, please. 6? What are they going to do? Yeah, they're going to lose twice to this team? I don't think so.
If they didn't beat Chris Sale last night.
No, and they... Yeah, I mean, they... Kershaw, for the Dodgers, they needed that win. Although, I mean, the Red Sox lost game one of the Astros, and they went on to win 4 straight. But you thought if Chris Sale, if he doesn't have it, and they can maybe grab a win there. Chris Sale didn't have it, and they still found a way to win. So that's got to be demoralizing. And then the rest of these guys, so you got another lefty in Ryu tonight. Then you go to the dude Buehler, who's pitched really well. He's going to be starting
Buehler.
Game 3.
Buehler. Somebody was going to do it.
It might as well be you. But he's had a pretty good year. So we'll see what happens. But I think they beat him too.
All right, let's get to the calls with you at 617-779-7937. Bruce is in Boston. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Bruce.
So I picked up on your comment where you talked about these guys being fragile.
Yes.
Well, I pick up a connection between how fragile they are and how hard people throw now. It used to be that a good fastball was in the low 90s, and if you threw 95, that was considered exceptional, really exceptional. So I think what happened, and I'd like to hear your take on this, I think what happened is they've trained them and they've taught them to throw in the upper 90s, but that doesn't mean your ligaments and tendons and muscles over time can actually deal with that. I think they're throwing so hard now, so many people are throwing so hard that it basically, the arms just can't tolerate that over time.
You may be right. There may be something to it. I mean, just because you train so that you can throw harder doesn't mean the body's built to throw harder.
Right. But I mean,
you got high school kids having Tommy John now. Because if you have it, you'll throw even harder when you come back.
You're like the kid from Rookie of the Year. You'll show up.
We went back to that movie again.
Yeah, that guy threw heat. He was ahead of his time, too. He's only 10. He's throwing like 95.
10?
Yeah. He's great. Talking trash on first base. He was a good little player. But, yeah, I mean, regardless, all right, so they throw harder. Well, they're still fragile. So I don't know if his point would be tell them not to throw as hard and maybe they're going to be able to compete. But then it's when they throw really hard is where they have the advantage over these hitters. I don't know what's going on. But my point would be the value of the starting pitcher is getting less and less as the days go on. I just did a quick little research here, Dale. This is Rich Keefe research. In this year, let's see, how many guys do you think threw 200 innings? So we'll go 200 on the nose or more in the regular season. 13.
That's more than I thought.
13. So not a terrible number, but 13.
Yeah.
Just 10 years ago, so 2008, there were 34 guys that did it. That's a pretty significant jump. So I just think you're not really getting the bang for your buck, because some would say, hey, well, this is how you do it in the playoffs now, this whole thing where you go to your relievers in the fifth or the sixth inning, but it's the regular season. You need those guys to pitch a ton of innings in the regular season. Well, how many of those guys are even doing that? You know, the days of even CeCe Sabathia or Roy Halladay or those guys that would go out there and throw complete games, or they would throw 7-8 innings all the time, that doesn't happen anymore. A lot of teams are happy with 6 innings. Look at how Cora even used his guys this year. And we said it was good, but it didn't really matter
with
Price
or Sale
in the long run.
Sale.
Yeah, Sale, Price, even Porcello, they clearly could pitch another inning, and he would say, no, we're good. And you thought it would help. Now, with Sale, it didn't matter at all. Maybe it did help with David Price a little bit, but you have to kind of baby these guys anyway. So I think teams really need to think long and hard about giving someone $30 million to give you 190 innings and then 4 inning starts in the playoffs.
I forget where I read it earlier this year, but they were talking about the job interview process for Alex Cora.
Yeah.
And paraphrasing, obviously, I don't have it in front of me, but basically it was Alex Cora came into this meeting and basically said, no, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to have that. And whatever the plan was, it wasn't like, well, what are you fellas looking to do here? It was, no, this is how we're going to run it.
There's a man with a plan.
And apparently ownership, John Henry and Dave Dombrowski, were like blown away. It was like, oh, okay.
They're like, this guy seems pretty good.
Which means to me that all of this stuff that you've seen, protecting pitchers, starting in April, you know, saving innings, saving pitches, guys like Chris Sale, other guys. No. We're going to give them rest when they don't need it, but we're going to protect them.
It was sort of his approach could basically be whittled down to, for pitchers, do less. For hitters, do more. That's what it was.
Be like, more aggressive.
Swing at the
Get
first pitch,
there.
And then for pitchers, all right, it might be a 5-inning start today. It might be a 6-inning start. We're not going to burn you guys out between April and September.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Kimbrough straightens up on the hill. The 3-2 pitch to Turner. Swung on and missed. Strike three, and game one belongs to the Red Sox. The Red Sox have a 1-0 lead in the World Series over the Los Angeles Dodgers with an 8-4 win here tonight. Andrew Benintendi, a huge night at the plate. 4-for-5, 3 runs scored. And a pinch hit home run by Eduardo Nunez in the bottom of the 7th inning helps lift the Red Sox to an 8-4 win.
Tim Neverett with the call as Craig Kimbrell closed things out last night, looking dominant again.
He did.
That whole wounded stork look doesn't bother me at all when he pitches like that.
It's awkward, isn't it?
Strange.
I mean, we're so used to it now, but it is very bizarre. Unorthodox. And then the other thing Smoltz was saying last night, he's like, yeah, Kimbrell, you know, when he delivers the ball, he's looking at the third baseline the entire time. And then they zoom in on him, and he looks there for a second, then immediately looks to home and throws to home the rest of the way. I was like, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of comes to a rest and, like, looks at the third base dugout. But then as soon as he gets, like, as soon as he kicks, he's looking right at the catcher.
Picks up his target.
Yeah. But anyway, that was a miss by Smoltz, I think.
Well, one of.
No, but hey, we've got 3 more games. Couple. So enjoy these guys. See how they do.
At least 3.
It's 3.
Yeah, probably.
It's 3 more games.
You might be right.
Yeah.
Mark's down on the Cape. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. Good.
I just wanted to mention, I got a good feel yesterday of baseball is a little bit more religious than in Los Angeles. My sister, who's been working there for 50 years,
wow.
When I called her yesterday, she said, who? No.
So, oh, you're saying they're not big fans of the Dodgers in Los Angeles is what you're saying.
Right, not like it is here.
Not right.
No, I mean, everybody.
Maybe she's an Angels fan.
Probably not.
No.
Nobody is. Right. I mean, I think everybody has always understood that the baseball fan on the East Coast, Philadelphia, New York, Boston, you know, much more rabid.
Much better.
Much more involved.
Yes. They love
LA,
sports here.
You got too much going on. For years and years, they didn't have an NFL team in Los Angeles, and they didn't care so
much. No, they didn't care.
They don't care now either.
Then they had two,
and they've got two now.
One again. It's hard to keep track. They got the one baseball team that plays like in Orange County. They're like in Anaheim, but they're like, oh, no, it's L.A. It's an L.A. team. It's like, no, it's not. Nobody cares.
I've been to that stadium. I've never been to Chavez Ravine.
Yeah, which apparently is the third oldest park. I didn't realize that.
What, Fenway and Wrigley?
Yeah,
and that.
Right. I mean, those two are obvious. I guess there's been so many new stadiums that are nice that everybody has an updated version. But, yeah, so Dodger Stadium is the third oldest.
Jerry's in Warwick. Hey, Jerry.
What's up, Jerry?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
How are you?
Hey, listen, first off, I love your program. I listen to it almost every day. I'm
Thank
retired,
you.
So I have plenty of time.
Nice.
Hey, I wanted to make a comment about Gretzky's funny, sarcastic, and yet truthful remark about Pomeranz being on the roster.
Yes, please.
And, listen, it couldn't be more stranger than have that guy on the roster because, first off, being on the roster makes him something that they can use. I really hope they don't put the guy in.
I know. Yeah, hopefully he doesn't pitch in any kind of high leverage situation.
But let's be honest.
He probably won't.
If they do put him in,
it'll
work.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
Come on.
Why wouldn't it? Everything else is worse.
Evan Drellick's head will explode.
Yeah, that's probably going to
happen.
Because
he'll put Pomeranz in and he'll get a big out somewhere.
Spin a gem. He'll get like six outs.
I heard Drellick say, I mean, come on. Eduardo Rodriguez was kind of lucky on that out he got. Yeah, because he induced a pop out to center field.
The guy hitting like a .180 in the playoffs. So like, let's not go nuts. Let's not go crazy about it. Like, I know he was the LCS MVP, but just like Jackie Bradley, they're not hitting for the highest average over there. I just think with Pomeranz, I understand wanting a lefty on the roster, but as we talked about yesterday, I thought Pointer or even Johnson would be a better option. Pomeranz had a terrible year, but you can see with some of the guys that LA has.
A lot of lefties in that lineup.
And some of the splits that they have. I guess you can kind of understand why they would add another lefty. I just didn't agree with it being Drew Pomeranz.
And it will work.
It probably will.
We won't be able to explain it when it does. Mm-hmm. It'll be like, why are you hitting Nunez for Devers here?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Next thing you know, he hits a laser beam into
Dinger.
The front row of the monster, and away you go. Mm-hmm. Let's go to JD in Westfield. Hey, JD.
How are you guys? Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to talk about Dana Lavangi. I mean, think about all the regime changes that he's been through. He's been with the Red Sox since like 94 or 95 as a player in the minor leagues, and now, you know, keeps getting promoted even though people get fired. I'm just wondering how long it'll be before people start come knocking, asking for him to be a manager.
Well, that's a good question, actually, because every time a team has success, and if the Red Sox win, which we all think they will win the World Series, where do teams turn? The best team.
Teams come poaching your guys.
Yeah, so that's a great one. Because I still remember
I could easily see Ron Renicki getting another run somewhere if he wants one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with Dana Lavangi, I remember Merlone saying this before the season started. Like, he's one of the rare guys that could probably be a pitching coach or a hitting coach. And if you can combine that, that sounds like a manager, doesn't it?
Yes.
Like, and so I think whether it's after this season or maybe next season, if that's something he wants to do, I always assume that most pitching coaches or bench coaches want to be managers. That's my assumption. I don't know if it's always the case, but I'm sure he'll get an opportunity sooner rather than later.
Although guys, you know, like Renicki at this stage of his life and his career may say, you know what?
He may be good.
I've been there. I've done it. Now, Lavangi's never had that opportunity.
Right.
He also probably should get more credit than he gets. Because if the Red Sox pitching sucked, he'd be getting blame.
Yeah.
You'd say, hey,
yeah,
what's the pitching coach doing here?
Now, with some of those guys, like, yes and no. You know, like, if David Price had another bad playoff start the last time out, at least me personally, I wouldn't blame Dana Lavangi. I'd be like, he's worked with a lot of pitching coaches, worked with a lot of managers. But with some of the other guys, sure, you would say, all right, well, at some point, can he find a change? Or something as simple as, like, if Craig Kimbrell was really tipping pitches,
isn't that something that the pitching coach should identify? Like, at this point of the season, you might not tell him, like, hey, why don't you try this grip? Like, you're not doing that, but you might say, hey, you're kind of tipping off that you're throwing a curveball or a slider or whatever.
My only defense might be, you know, I got 11 or 12 guys here I got to worry about.
Right.
So I didn't see what you were doing because I'm working with everybody else, too. I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about the overnight numbers being down slightly from last year for game one. 10.2 last year, 10.0 this year. The national numbers.
Yes.
I will say this, and look, here in Boston, we didn't care. We were having fun. Game could have gone on, you know, for hours. We were fine. But to put it in perspective, the Bruins faced off at 7:30 last night. First pitch of the baseball game was at 8:12.
Yeah.
We did the Bruins game.
Mm-hmm.
I did a post-game show.
That's right.
Extra commercials during the breaks. Oof. They got to make their money back. I understand all that. I really do. I understand.
Joe Buck's working on shtick.
I understand the business side of it.
Yeah.
But it does take a while. Now, in Boston, fine. We're good. You know, let it go forever. We're winning. We don't care.
It is a bit much. You know, I mean, you don't want to, as they're in the World Series, you don't want to really complain about that. Because you'd rather them play a four-hour game than not be playing at this time. Like, that's obvious. But this one just made it under 4 hours. They earlier, was it last series, they had the game that almost had the record for a nine-inning game, like how long it took. Like, the game went over.
Did
one,
have the record, didn't it?
Oh, was it the record?
Yeah.
It was
the longest nine-inning game in playoff history.
I mean, it's a bit much. And so,
I mean, it's all the pitching changes. It's all the defensive changes.
At least there's no 8:39 starts. They're all 8:09, except for some reason, Sunday is 8:15. But whatever. That's 6 minutes. It's not a half hour, which that was the game that was brutal.
Like, by the way, if you're wondering, yes, Major League Baseball does go out of its way to make sure that there was no World Series game Thursday night. And there's no World Series Monday night.
Scared of football.
Yes.
Well, it works out for
because
Monday.
A regular season NFL game is still going to beat a World Series game in the national ratings.
Right.
It just is.
Yeah. Even, who was it? Is it Texans-Dolphins? It still would.
The national number last night for game one was 10.
Yeah.
My guess is the national number for the Monday night football game is higher than that.
Yeah, probably. And that's just the way it is. So, I mean, that was smart. And then they really kind of lucked into it this year, too, because you'd want to avoid Monday night anyway. But if you're Red Sox, Patriots, you don't want to line those up again.
No.
So, yeah. So
that's the other thing, too. And of course, I'm not sure they knew what the schedule was going to be. But they know the Patriots are a ratings juggernaut.
Yeah.
If they had known that the Patriots were going to be on Monday Night Football, then they'd really want to avoid
it.
They just want to avoid the NFL as much as they can. Now, Sunday night, they can't avoid
it. I was going to say, they can't do it completely. They can't
take
2 days off.
You've got to play Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
You're not going to play Sunday afternoon teeth of all the NFL games. You're going to go against one game instead of going against, you know, 10.
They're not going to even have to play Sunday night, though. So they're all set.
It might not matter.
Game two, and then you take a day, Friday, Saturday. So Saturday night, maybe get the champagne ready to go if that's something that you partake in. A little champagne. Maybe get the plastic. I'm going to start plasticing up the Dragon's Lair because I can't get stuff on that.
Please, you've got so much money tied up there.
I'm going to plastic that up. I don't want my video games to get, you know, soaked or my little figurines. So I'll cover those guys.
Figurines.
They're action figures.
This goes beyond bobbleheads, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I will also say this. I mentioned yesterday the possibility, because the Bruins have already moved the starting time for a game so far this year.
Here we go.
They can't move this one.
Here it is. Oh, no?
I don't think so.
You were looking into it, huh?
Well, I asked. I made inquiries. I didn't ask the Bruins.
Selfish.
No,
deal.
No, no.
Yeah.
Here's the problem.
You called the Bruins. Hey, guys.
No, I didn't ask that. You've got Bruins Canadiens Saturday night here.
Okay. Was that a 7?
It is a hockey night in Canada game.
Oh, they're not going to budge. They don't care about the World Series
in
Canada.
Now, if the game was at Fenway Saturday night, I think you could make the case to move the game, because the city would say, hey, come on. We can't have two of these events going on at the same time. Public safety issues, public transportation issues. But the baseball game's in L.A. The hockey game's on hockey night in Canada. I don't think
Sorry, Dale.
I've got a big screen TV in the studio there at the Garden. I mean, I will be watching it.
You'll watch the game. I gotcha.
I'd rather, you know, have had them separate.
I agree.
So we don't get our asses kicked in the ratings again.
As the Bruins season starts in a week. Get excited.
As soon as we get this Saturday thing out of the way, and away we go.
November, here we go.
617-779-7937. Tom's in New Hampshire. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, you know what's weird? Okay, check this out. If the Red Sox
win tonight, then they're two games ahead. But if they lose, then they're no games ahead. So it's not just a difference of one game. It's actually a difference of two games. Bottom now.
Is this Jim Rice?
It's a two-game swing, Tom, is what you're saying.
It's a four-pointer.
Four-pointer.
So now, if the bottom of the ninth inning,
right.
The Red Sox are trailing by one run with men on base, and you
who's up? Who's up?
Slamming.
Who's up in the scenario? No, who specifically? Who? Yeah, yeah. Who? Who?
How about Mookie Betts?
Oh, I love that. I think you're in a good spot.
And then you're slamming one, and you get one of those fan interference calls like you had in the ALCS.
No. Yeah, somebody reaching over the monster, maybe.
Now
dangerous.
You got fan interference. Now, should it be a home run?
Right.
The Red Sox win the World Series, are two games ahead?
Yeah, it's a two-game swing.
Is it an out because of fan interference?
It's a good question.
I mean, I'd have to look at the replay, Tom.
Yeah, well, it hasn't even happened yet.
Right. Harder to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay,
thanks. So what do you want him to do? Okay.
I don't care. I think we had pretty much plumbed the depths of that question. We had figured
Lucy,
out.
When you screened that call, was it...
How'd that go for you?
Was it very similar to what just happened on the air?
He was making a lot of sense when he talked to me, so okay. I don't know what happened.
Why don't you come in here and do this?
I'm not really sure.
I think it might be better for our audience if you come in here.
So just to try to Cliff's notes that, he was saying it's a two-game swing tonight.
Yes, yes.
Huge game two.
Supposed to be going two games up to 1-1.
To
actually,
being tied.
That's still one game.
I don't know, Dale, but that's what he said. And then the other point was...
Math is hard.
What if there's fan interference tonight? Great question.
Is it a home run?
I don't know.
Is it a foul ball?
I don't know.
We discuss. I don't think you get a lot of people leaning over the green monster, first of all. But right field, sure. Mookie Betts goes opposite
field. Because you know
what?
If you make a miscalculation, it's a...
That'd be a hard thing to watch. That'd be a hard thing to watch.
37 feet, if you haven't heard.
I think that would be devastating. Now, right field, there is a situation where there could be fan interference. You're right there.
That's in the corner, though. You got the whole bullpen.
No, the bullpen, no. But I'm saying the corner. Right there, right by old Pesky's pole, there could be some issues.
Speaking of the bullpen.
Yes.
There was an issue with the bullpen last night.
An issue?
I don't know if you've
heard.
In
the bullpen?
It's coming up when we come back in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.